Good morning, everyone, and welcome to service.
It seems like some of us have emptied you overnight. After a very successful induction service, we're in that stage. So I would actually like now to call on David to lead our service. And at the end of the service, the doves will be landing in the box that you posted them into over the last couple of weeks, and they'll be presented to David during our very special tea and coffee. We have a lot of burning. Welcome, David.
Thank you so much, Wendy, and good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's very good to be here and be amongst you. And yes, thank you for those who have come yesterday and for those others that were here in spirit. That is much appreciated. So yes, I met a number of you yesterday, and there are a few familiar faces and names from many, many, many years ago. Welcome as we gather together today in the praise and worship of God. Also want to welcome those of you who will listen to the service at a different time other than today. We are glad that we are able to join together in this way, whether we're present here this morning or listening at a later time. Let us worship God, we pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we come together because you call us. Sometimes in the noisy bustle of life, your call sounds faintly, but somehow we have heard and we are here. We come in our weakness and uncertainty with our doubts, yet knowing your voice and trusting that our hope will not be disappointed. Draw us closer to you. Help us to recognize your presence in our midst and lead us through the coming week. In the name of Christ. Amen. We're going to have a couple of praise songs, and then we'll lead into our hymn after that.
Thank you.
So, so we continue in praise in the hymn Morning Has Broken. Let us pray. Eternal God, you made the rolling hills and painted the endless sky. You hold in your hands the depths of the ocean and the expanse of the universe. Yet you still have time for each of us. You tend to the needs of your children. You listen to our whispers and to our cries. You know our voices. And we thank you that we can know your voice too. We thank you that in every place and space we have the opportunity to encounter you, to be transformed by your presence and healed by your love. We are thankful for country and kindred and home and for the promise of future hope. We thank you that even when we falter, you gently guide us. When we don't understand or rush to the wrong conclusion, you are patient and wait with us. You hold open your hands of blessing for all. As we offer our prayers and our worship and adoration and thankfulness, we know that in your mercy you hear us, and in your grace you guide us and love us. God of mercy, even when we are far from you, you are gracious to us and you call us your children. When we fall short of your glory, be gracious to us and in your mercy forgive us. When we are weak and give in to selfish desires, be gracious to us and in your mercy forgive us. When we act as enemies and sow division, forsaking the way of love, be gracious to us and in your mercy forgive us. When we are boastful of anything but you, be gracious to us, and in your mercy forgive us. This we pray in and through the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. From John 3, verse 17, we hear that God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The good news is that in Christ our sins are forgiven.
Thanks be to God.
So as a renewed and a forgiven people, let's take a moment to greet each other and to share a sign of peace.
Morning everyone again. I would love to welcome Del and Mary to our service today. They are also residents at Bolton Clark along with Brenda, so she has brought them to join us in our service today. So welcome. And please stay for tea and coffee if you can. The food you get today will not be the normal food of tea and coffee. Sonia is out of hospital, so our prayers are with Sonia and Ian. Thanks to everyone who assisted yesterday. Once again, we over-catered, but when have we not over-catered? So thank you to everyone who assisted with the induction service, setting up, afternoon tea. Thank you very much. We have all of our normal activities, but we're now 9:30, aren't we? Sorry, 9:30, Bible study. The Inspired Gallery is open this afternoon, after the service today, for those of you who would like to go down. It has about 4 years' worth of Touchstones artwork. So it's an opportunity for you to see that, you know, we just don't sit down there and have a cup of tea and a gossip. We actually do some creative works along the way. Reflections is due on Wednesday. We held it over because of the induction. We thought it was important that the induction information went into this reflections. So as soon as you can get that to Dawn, that would be appreciated. Men's lunch this Friday. Please notify Ewan. There is a state election forum being held out at Brisbane West at Moggill. It's being organised by Queensland Churches Together. So contact Dave Baker if you want any more information, and all of that's in your order of service. Cool and Classic is coming up. Yes. Please remember, if you don't have, if you didn't buy season tickets, tickets will be on sale
today.
So please make sure that you get tickets. The con is always always a very enjoyable concert. And we will continue our service today with TIS 164, The Great Love of God.
We now hear from the scriptures. Thanks, Val.
The first reading today is from Psalm 8, God's glory and human dignity. I'm even shorter than you thought. O Lord, our Lord, your greatness is seen in all the world. Your praise reaches up to the heavens. It is sung by children and babies. You are safe and secure from all your enemies. You stop anyone who opposes you. When I look at the sky, which you have made, at the moon and the stars, which you set in their places, what are human beings that you think of them, mere mortals, that you care for them? Yet you made them inferior only to yourself. You crowned them with glory and honour. You appointed them rulers over everything you made. You placed them over all creation, sheep and cattle and the wild animals too, the birds and the fish and the creatures of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, your greatness is seen in all the world. And there was a second reading. God's word through the Son. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors many times and in many ways through the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. He is the one through whom God created the universe, the one whom God has chosen to possess all things at the end. He reflects the brightness of God's glory and is the exact likeness of God's own being, sustaining the universe with his powerful word. After achieving forgiveness for the sins of all human beings, he sat down in heaven at the right side of God, the supreme power. The Son was made greater than the angels, just as the name that God gave him is greater than theirs. Now, the second part of the reading comes from Hebrews chapter 2, reading verses 5 to 12. The one who leads us to salvation. God has not placed the angels as rulers over the new world to come, the world of which we speak. Instead, as it is said somewhere in the scriptures, what are human beings, O God, that you should think of them? Mere human beings, that you should care for them. You made them for a little while lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honour and made them rulers over all things. It says that God made them rulers over all things. Do not, however, see human beings ruling over all things now, but we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, so that through God's grace he should die for everyone. We see him now, crowned with glory and honour because of the death he suffered. It was only right that God, who creates and preserves all things, should make Jesus perfect through suffering in order to bring many children to share his glory. For Jesus is the one who leads them to salvation. He purifies people from their sins, and both he and those who are made pure all have the same Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his family. He says to God, I will tell my people what you have done. I will praise you in their meeting. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Spirit of truth, in the secret place of our mind and heart, teach us of your holy word, that all our public words and actions may become textured with your strength and compassion. In the name of Christ, amen. Well, for this morning, I've simply turned to the Hebrews reading from the lectionary, which was set for today, and from chapter 1. And those verses from chapter 2, which includes this quote from Psalm 8 that Val also read. And what a cracking passage this is from Hebrews, particularly chapter 1. In one place, in speaking of Jesus, it says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. How extraordinary are those words? But before we get into that, let's take a step back and consider the book of Hebrews more generally. Hebrews is one of those books of the Bible that we don't know who wrote it. There's lots of speculation about who the author was, but the bottom line is that we simply don't know who wrote this book. It doesn't start in the same way that many of Paul's letters often do, for example, where he says, dear such and such, or to the elders in the church of, or the saints in the church, such and such. In fact, Hebrews just launches straight into it. It's a bit like the start of, a Star Wars movie. Long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. It just starts straight into it. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by a son, whom he appointed heir of all things. It just launches straight into this. So maybe it was an early sermon that was started, I'm not sure. And although we might not know who the author is, we do know some things about the recipients of this. We know some things about who this was written to. Some Christians who were probably had a Jewish background, who were living in cities, in a very pluralistic society, where there were many different beliefs, different religions, different philosophies. And when we just pause and reflect on that, that's a context that's not that much different than our own. And so we do well to listen for what the book of Hebrews can say to us. For those very early Christians, living in such a pluralistic society meant marginalisation, hostility, and suffering. And so one of the key questions that the book of Hebrews answers is this: if God so loves us, if God is so committed to our joy and our hope, why is life so hard? That's one of the key questions that the book of Hebrews looks to answer. And the overarching answer of the whole book is to say that life is a marathon, not a sprint. And the only way that you get to the end of this journey is to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. In essence, that's the message of the book of Hebrews. So, for example, in chapter 12 of Hebrews, and some of these words will have a bit of a ring of familiarity to some of us, the beginning of chapter 12, for example, says, "And let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Now, in essence, that's the message of the book of Hebrews. When marginalized because of a commitment to Jesus, the author of Hebrews says, don't turn away from Christ. Keep fixed on him. He will sustain you. He will sustain you. And I'll just touch again on that briefly shortly. Chapter 1, in the verses that Val read to us, opens with extraordinary words about Jesus. In the past and in many ways, God spoke to those who have gone before us, that is the prophets, but in these last days, God has spoken through and by his Son. Now, in these last days, now that's simply a reference to the period of time from the death and resurrection of Jesus to when he comes again. That's the term for these last days. So we live in these last days. Ever since the days of Jesus, we live in these last days, as it were. And in these last days, God has spoken through and by his Son. Here is a reminder that since the beginning of everything, God has never been completely silent or left God's people in the dark about God's character, about God's plan, and God's purposes. Here is a reminder that God speaks most clearly and unmistakably and in finality through Jesus Christ. Verse 3 says that Jesus is the exact representation of God's being, the exact imprint of God's very being. In Jesus, God is not just giving us information. God is not just giving us instructions on how to live or guidelines for living a good moral life. God is actually communicating God's self to us. and lets us know who God is. God wants us to know things, important though that is. God wants a relationship. This is a personal God who speaks. It is God giving his very self. There is no fuller, no more final expression of God than Jesus, Hebrews 1 says to us. He is it. We hear echoes of that in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hebrews chapter 1 matches that language and actually surpasses it. So lofty is the description here of who Jesus is. Now this is wonderful news, that the God of all eternity, the God of glory, wants to be in relationship with us. But there's also something hard here too for us to hear. That there is no further expression of God than that revealed in Jesus. That Jesus is the ultimate, that Jesus is superior to all others. That Jesus is God's final word to us. Jesus is it, and that's that. You can't put Jesus on a shelf with a whole lot of other philosophies and religious figures and sages and belief systems and expect him to stay on that shelf. His claims as to who he is won't let him stay there. Now that can be a bit hard to hear in a pluralistic society. And remember, that's the context that the Hebrew people were in. And it's our context as well. And this is the hard part of this. It's hard to hear that in a pluralistic society where we are surrounded by different philosophies, different religions, or no belief in anything, and where such a claim can be quickly dismissed. What does the writer of the Hebrews say to those Christians who live in a society like that? Well, in chapter 2, the writer in essence says, don't back off that. You see, some of those Hebrew Christians were probably beginning to ask some questions. We were expecting Jesus to come back by now. He hasn't come back. Maybe I should hedge my bets a little bit. A little bit of Jesus and a little bit of the old sacrificial system that we used to be a part of. Remember the overall theme of the book of Hebrews? Amidst all that happens, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. And how do we seek to engage with the world with such a claim without sounding or acting exclusive or arrogant or standoffish or appearing superior or better than others? Well, it's about how we conduct ourselves. It's how we relate to people. It's about how we share our story in the light of God's story, the story of Jesus, his life and actions for us. And rather than being exclusive or arrogant, it actually gives us a confidence in our conversations because we know who Jesus is and what he has done, and we simply tell others what that means for us. It gives us a confidence to be able to do that. Verse 3 says, Jesus is the radiance or reflection of God's glory. And we could spend some excellent time looking at the connection here with lots of references to God's glory in the Old Testament. From God being present in that fiery cloud that accompanied the people in the wilderness after the Red Sea, or at Mount Sinai when they gathered there and Moses received the law, or later with King Solomon and later in the temple. But suffice it to say that God's glory was awesome, in the best use of that word, awesome. It was sublime, it was untouchable. But here in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, the glory of God is in human form, a form that we can see, a form that could be touched, but it's still the glory of God. All those Old Testament references, people could not be near the glory of God. it would consume them. But in Jesus, we can now gaze at God's glory. And as we look to Jesus and gaze at him, we are changed. His glory rubs off on us. I don't know, maybe whether you've ever spent some time with someone who you sense even is a little bit beyond you. Someone who's much more the person that you would want to be, so much more wiser, so much more patient, so much more kind. I remember a few years ago visiting a resident at Wynnum. Her name was Ivy. Ivy was in her mid-90s, and she died a couple of years ago. But Ivy was this beautiful, humble Christian lady. As I said, when I met her, she was 92, 93, something like that. She spent her years as a nurse. In fact, she was one of the very first blue nurses in blue nursing. But she was a nurse, and she spent years both in blue nursing, but she also spent years in some of the mission fields in the Northern Territory back in the 50s and 60s. She was part of the teams that supported the Billy Graham Crusades back in the day. And in retirement, she spent years with her husband on one of the small islands in Moreton Bay, providing Christian fellowship and Bible study for the various people who would come and go in their lives on the island. Her humble and gentle service to her Lord shone through whenever I would visit her. She was one of those residents who I would meet with, and I'm not sure who got more out of the visit, whether it was me or her. That was the kind of person she was. I would always leave feeling lifted up, encouraged, and deeply, deeply thankful for any time spent with her. You see, it rubs off. And she was one of those beautiful Christian, humble women who you'd go and spend time with, and it would rub off on you. Hebrews 2 verse 10 speaks of God graciously bringing many sons and daughters to glory. A lot of that remains mystery as to what that looks like, but at the very least, it means that some of Jesus' glory rubs off on us as we spend time fixing our eyes on him across our life. This means that because the Spirit of God graciously lives and works in us, when people see and hear us, and when we spend time with people, they ought to be able to catch a glimpse of something of Jesus' reflected glory in us. That is, in the conversations we have with people, they should be able to pick up on that there's something worth knowing about the Jesus that we seek to follow. That there's something more to know. That there's something about the hope, peace, joy that we have that makes people curious at the very least. These last few thoughts. As we fix our eyes on this Jesus, who is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, as chapter 1 says, we recognise that this same Jesus generally looked less than glorious to the human eye than these verses portray. As he walked the dusty streets and mixed with all kinds of people, he in fact looked very ordinary. Verse 9 of chapter 2 even implies that when it states, "For a little while was made lower than the angels, is now crowned with glory and honour because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone." Jesus, God's glory revealed, suffered death for us. We sell him and his glory short if we shrink him down to a good moral example or a dispenser of good advice. Verse 3 says that when he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Purification for sins. Jesus didn't just speak for God and reflect God's glory. He rescued us by the giving of his very life and did everything necessary so that we would be brought back to God, forgiven, restored, filled with hope and peace. No wonder the passage includes a resounding note of praise in verse 12. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you. Let us pray. Lord our God, I very simply pray that you'll help us to keep our eyes fixed firmly on Jesus across all that happens for us. Help us to continue to know of that joy and hope and peace that you grant to us, and that you'll help us to know how to shed that word with others this week. In and through Christ we pray. Amen. We're going to sing the first few verses of From Heaven You Came, and we sang this yesterday, didn't we? So the hymn, our prayers of intercession, and then our offering will follow. So just the first verses.
Dear Holy Father, who art in heaven, good morning again from sunny Kenmore. We greet you from this lovely Communion Sunday with our new minister, excited and a little nervous for the journey ahead. Thank you for being with us, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, for the discernment that went into this union, and thank you for the opportunities to grow and blossom and flourish together that you present us with these first few months. Please help our that's not how we do it become we haven't tried that before. And thank you, God, for being with us now as we pray for each other and our world. Holy Father, the first thing that strikes us when we turn on the news is all this wretched business in the Middle East. We groan as we hear of the bully boy rantings of political leaders in our world. Please, Father, don't let the world only worry about petrol prices. Lord, we lift up for your gracious mercy the 1.2 million people who have been internally displaced in Lebanon alone by the violence. Father, we despair. Please, God of nations, who shatters spears and ends wars all over the world, is there any resolution for this fight? We feel so helpless. Please help us care more about each other and less about power, and please lay your protection over those who are closest to the fires of war and violence. Please bless and protect the critical aid workers, and please make a way for delivery of food, medicine, and safe passage for all those who need it. Please help us advocate for good, not just for the war-torn places, but also for the strife and struggle in our own backyard. Jesus, you have instructed us to care for our little ones and not lead our children into sin. The Northern Territory looks set to lower the criminal age of responsibility from 12 years old to 10. Father, we can't even pretend to imagine how this might help anyone, let alone the children. We are so, so sorry that we have failed to have compassion. We are sorry that we have been blind to the traumas that send these kids towards the criminal system. Christ Jesus, please help us as a church speak up for proper justice, and please bless those already doing their best to rescue our kids from the spiral of violence that they are trapped in. Thank you, Jesus, for being our salvation and hope. Thank you, Jesus, for being there despite all the mess we get into, and thank you for rescuing us from ourselves. Thank you, Jesus, for never giving up on us. We really can't understand it, but we're so grateful for it. Please help us not give up either, because we don't want to do this without you. And thank you for all of your help and all of your love this week and every week. Sincerely, amen.
As we sing the final verse of The Servant King, our offering will be received. Generous God, we continue to be thankful for that, what you have done for us in Christ. The generosity of your love exceeds our wildest expectations, and part of our response to your immeasurable love is to bring of ourselves, our money, our gifts, our abilities, our very lives for your service. Please bless what we offer to you this day and in the days ahead, that the good news of Jesus might be lived and shared around us and beyond into the wider community and world. In giving thanks, we pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. And our hymn before communion. Friends, this is the table of the Lord, and he calls us to this sacred feast. We come not because we are strong, but because we are weak. We come not because of any goodness of our own, but because we need mercy and help. We come because we love the Lord a little and would want to love him more. We come because he loves us and gave himself for us. So the prayer of thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Let
us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your own image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again." Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and this fruit of the vine. May we know Christ's presence real and true. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, your honour and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. And in confidence, we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come.
Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins,
as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from the evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The body of Christ was broken for you, and the blood of Christ was shed for you. We share now, for all is prepared.
body and blood of Christ, keep us to eternal life. Amen.
We pray. We thank you, our God, that you have fed us in this sacrament, that you have united us with Christ and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet prepared for all. We offer ourselves to you as a living sacrifice through Jesus Christ our Lord. Please send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Our final hymn, our final song this morning is Sent Forth by God's Blessing. Sharing a little more over some morning tea very shortly. So let's go out into the world in the power of the Spirit. In all things, at all times, remember that Christ is with you. Make your life your worship to the praise and glory of God. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you now and forevermore. Amen.